This morning we shared with you a couple of things the Lord just spoke to me as I was praying. First thing was clearing the debris, and then the second thing that He said to me was, "You change people's lives by changing their thinking." And I've been thinking on that for the last few days, and thinking about clearing the debris. What's the debris? And if you look at the word debris, it's just simply rubbish, refuge, garbage. It's all the stuff that's been put in people from the time they've been born, that's not in agreement with God. If you want to look at your Bibles, at Romans 12, verse 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture, probably to most of you. But I want to just share some things with the way it's been given to me. In verse 2, just reading it from the King James Version, says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, if you take that and you break that down and you start looking at these words from the Greek definitions of them, the word conformed is an interesting word that means to fashion. And if you want to look at the word fashion, it's a system, or it's a way of doing something. So what He's telling us is, don't be conformed to the system of the world. And actually, the word "world" there is age, eon. So don't be conformed, or follow the ways of this age. But what are people taught from the time they're born? To follow the ways of the world, to follow the ways of the age. And you have all types of things indoctrinating into the ways of the world. TV has infiltrated the home, and it's going to indoctrinate you into the ways of the world. The internet is so available. What does it do? It exposes you to things in the world that you wouldn't ever be exposed to. Small kids are being exposed to things that they'd never be exposed to. You understand, just through the internet. So if parents don't monitor things, then someone else is minding the children and putting faults into the children. So He's telling us not to be conformed. And then when you carry that over into the church, that's what religion has done. Religion is a world system. It's not a system of God. It's not the kingdom of God. It's a system of men. And what do? They're trying to get you indoctrinated into thoughts and opinions of men. In other words, I'll show you how to worship God. And if you don't do it the way that I'm telling you, then we'll blackball you from the organization or whatever. But it's still just a system of men, and we're told not to conform, not to follow those systems of the world. But then He goes on to say, to be transformed. Now, that's an interesting word, because it's actually to metamorphose, which tells you that it's a progressive change, not an instant change. And so it took years to put into you a lot of debris. And so a lot of debris has to be cleared out of you. And until you get the garbage out, you can't get quality stuff in, the truth in, I should say, I suppose. And then He tells us that the way we go through this process, the way we go through this metamorphosis, is by renewing the mind. And that word renewing actually is one word, renovation. And then if you look up renovation, that is an interesting word, because it's restoring back something back to its original state. So what's God saying? He wants our mind restored back to its original state where it followed the spirit, not the flesh. See, when God created Adam, Adam's mind was in tune with the spirit. He was just doing the will of God. God says he did it. The problem was he got his mind off of the spirit, got his mind on the flesh. And so this restoring back to an original state, God is saying, I want you to get your mind off of the flesh and on the spirit. Because if you don't, you'll never know the will of God for your life. And the way this is worded is I don't totally agree with the way it's worded. I think the will of God should have preceded good, acceptable, and perfect. If you look at it the way it's actually laid out. And what he's saying is, restore your mind back to the original state so you know the will of God. Then you'll prove what's good. You'll prove what's acceptable. You'll prove what's perfect or complete. But it comes through a process. You're with me? In James 1:21, he tells us to receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word of God, which is able to save your soul. We know the mind's in the soul. And so then the spirit is, new birth is instant. But the saving of the soul is progressive. Okay? Any man's in Christ is a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. That's spirit. That's spirit. You now have the life of God living in beside of you. It'll be inside of you. But if you don't renew your mind, you continue operating in the ways of the world and you'll keep the will of God suppressed in your life. And God wants us back into the original state to where we're thinking like He thinks. Just obeying what He says. You know, I was reading this afternoon there in Luke where Jesus at 12 years old went into the temple and sat there and listening and actually having dialogue with the masters, if you will, the teachers of the law and all that. And he astounded them with his wisdom because he wasn't what they would call book learned. You understand? And his mom, you know, when they finally found him, sort of scolded him a little bit, and you know, we've been looking for you. Didn't you know? Now, she knew that this was a supernatural conception and birth. She knew that the Spirit of God was to be on him. I mean, this was birth. He was birthed by the Spirit. You said, didn't you know that my attention would be on my Father? Why would you look anywhere else? If you want to find me, find where the Father is. Find where God is. And you see, that's the way it should be with us, to where we should want our minds fixed on the Lord. Then we'll be doing the will of God, and things that aren't the will of God, we'll know by the Spirit. We know by the Word that this is not God. This doesn't agree with the Word of God. That's why we cannot overemphasize the teaching of the Word of God. That's why we've given our life to teach the Word of God, because that's the only way you're going to renew a person's mind. That's the only way you're going to restore that back to the original state, to where instead of thinking out here, you're thinking from the inside. You're thinking from the Spirit. You're getting your information from God. You're drawing from God. And you know, when the Lord spoke to me about he spoke to me about the Bible College first in 1981. The Lord gave me the name Spirit Training Center in 1981. And we didn't, of course, the college didn't come into effect until the year 2000. So long pregnancy, you know, 19 years, but things had to be built on the inside. And then in 1992, driving down the road, the Lord gave me the name of this church, Thomasville World Outreach Center. And the Lord gave me mandates with both the college and the church, and we've done to the best of our ability to stay with the basics of what God gave us, not to look to the left, not to look to the right, not to be like other people, like other churches, like other colleges, but to stay true to the course that God's set us on. And when you do that, you there's some misunderstanding that goes with that, and people don't they don't understand the things of the Spirit. That's why there's a misunderstanding. They miss what the Spirit of God is doing, because it doesn't match status quo. It doesn't match the religious way. And instead of screening things through the way other people do it, we're supposed to screen things through the Scriptures. Everything should be filtered by the Word of God. Check it out with the Word of God. If it's the will of God, it'll agree with the Word. You know, if it's a good thing God's wanting to do, it agrees with the Word. If God accepts it, it's going to agree with the Word. If it's complete, it's going to be all the Word put together. You understand? It's not going to be picking and choosing and taking apart truth, but the whole truth. And the sad part about all this is people pick portions. But if you take a little truth and a little error, what do you have? You have error. Any religion you can think of has a truth. But they mix error with it, then it becomes an erroneous doctrine. And God wants this thing pure, and the only way it can be pure is to go back to the original state and go back to the Spirit and disregard the flesh. Don't let the flesh have the input in what formulates your thinking. But let the Spirit of God give revelation in the Word of God, and then start exposing the Scriptures to you and start seeing things by the Spirit instead of by the flesh. You know, I think about the endeavors that God has put in front of us and given us the privilege of being involved in, as far as the college and as far as the church with the various outreach ministries and this type thing. And the whole purpose of this is to get people's mind renewed, to clear the debris, to get the religious garbage out, so the Word of God can rise to dominance in their life, to where God's Word dominates their thinking, not the ways of the world, to where you're conformed to the Word of God, not conformed to the Word of the world. In other words, it's a different system. It's a different kingdom. You know, the dominion of God is unlike the dominions of the world. And what makes the dominion of God so difficult for people is they can't see it. You understand? They can't see it. But what does the Word of God tell us? The just live by faith. And so you have to believe that what God's telling you without you seeing it is true. So then God's Word must be the substance that's the dominant factor in your life, to where the Word of God is not circumstantial, but the Word of God is substantial evidence. As a matter of fact, what we call substantial evidence is actually circumstantial. The ways of the world, we're judging things by the circumstances. God's Word's true. This is substance. It's irrefutable. You can deny it, defy it, disagree with it. You can do anything you want to. You can't change it. It abides forever. People have tried to burn it. They burned the people that have written it and translated it. But isn't it interesting, after all these hundreds and hundreds of years, that the Word of God is still just as powerful today as it's ever been? They couldn't do it. You look at the book of Acts, and they tried to stamp it out at the very beginning, at its inception, by killing those who were identifying with Jesus or putting them in prison or trying to get them to deny Christ, to come out of a religious system was totally taboo in that day. You don't come out of our system. You can't enter into personal relationship. And you know that people today are teaching that today, that you do not have a personal Savior, that you cannot enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, if you don't, you're eternally lost. Simple as that. Because the only way that you can be saved is by entering into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to tell people these things. We have to instruct and train. And you know, it's an interesting thing because I've always, I guess, sort of put instructing and training sort of in the same basket, you know, and sort of dump it out. But when the Lord dealt with me about Spirit Training Center, He got very specific with some things about Spirit Training Center. He said, I do not want you to appeal to the intellect of people. This is not instructing in an education or in, you know, in an indoctrination per se. And he said, I don't want you to appeal to emotion. Don't try to stir people's emotion. That's not what this is about. But he said, this is the Holy Spirit training human spirits. In other words, I want to train the real person. I want to change the inside of man. Okay? And that's what this is all about. So, consequently, God is looking, searching for people. Isn't it amazing that there's not that many God can find? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. He's looking for someone whose heart's completely toward Him. But there's not that many. And He's looking like with His own apostles. He says, you say 4 months to the harvest. I'm telling you, open your eyes. The fields are white. There's a shortage of laborers. In other words, the harvest is there. I just can't find laborers. So pray, start praying, interceding that God deal with the hearts of people, that there be a stirring on the inside of them. Now, we can just take that superficially and it sounds like God has all the responsibility. But how does God deal with the hearts of people? You can't believe in someone you haven't heard. And no one can hear unless somebody tells them. That's where we come in. So then we're under obligation to go out and start telling people what the truth is, indoctrinating them, if you will, in the Scriptures, excuse me, so they can get that garbage out of their thinking and start thinking like God thinks. Well, how does He think? Like this. This is how God thinks. So you go in and you get these principles out of the Scriptures. It doesn't matter if it's in the Old Testament or New Testament. A principle is a principle that will work in any period of time on any continent on earth. And so God's wanting us to learn His principles. For instance, sowing and reaping will work anywhere in the world. Show me any country that sowing and reaping won't work. It works. It's a principle of God. Show me any country that gravity won't work. So God has principles set in motion. God has spiritual principles set in motion. These natural things are teaching you spiritual truths. And all we have to do is look at these things. Another principle is this. If you want a person to think a certain way, then you have to teach them a certain way. That's what Stalin did. That's what Hitler did. That's what all these dictators done. That's what they're doing today in the education system. They want our kids today to think differently than we were taught when we were in school. So what do? They change the curriculum. They change history from a true history to a fabricated history. And so if you don't have the truth before you, you believe the lie. So the kids today believe the lie because they don't have the truth. The church is doing the same thing. The religious system does the same thing. It is wanting to indoctrinate people in a certain way. For instance, it is now very popular in evangelical circles that there's other ways to heaven besides Jesus. That you don't have to be born again. You don't have to have a personal experience. Well, God made us. God understands us. And God made me like I am. The truth is, God didn't make you like you are. You made yourself like you are. Or other people assisted you in becoming like you are. God didn't make you that way. God created you in innocence. God created you with a spirit that was susceptible to truth. But if you expose that to lies, it's also susceptible to lies as well. So we have an obligation. We have a responsibility. And we have a privilege of carrying the Word of God into areas to where people are full of garbage, and get the debris out and get the Word of God in. Their lifestyle is the way it is because of how they think. And if we can get their thinking changed. And see, for years, many years, the Lord has been working on us to get our thinking changed, to where that we'll believe the Word of God, that we'll think the Word of God, rather than say, well, I got this report and I got this report. You know what the news is saying? They saying this and they saying that. And you know what happened? You start expecting that to occur, not realizing that you're actually giving life to those things. What would happen if we would expect God's Word to come to pass in our life? We give life to the Word so God's Word can come to pass. What if we get that information into other people to where we get them to think back to the original instead of thinking about the systems of the world and the way the world is trying to indoctrinate them? You know, it wasn't in the early years of my life, I never heard the word evolution. Everybody knew his creator God. Everybody knew the world was created by God. And then you get these intellectual coneheads, you know, people that go to college and get educated. There's a difference between education and intelligence. You can educate a person to be foolish. And that's what's going on today. Foolish enough to come up with a theory that defies God and denies God. Because anybody that walks out the door and will think has to admit that there is a higher power than you that brought all this into existence. So, people have been indoctrinated in lies. Consequently, their mind has been taken away from God. Now, our responsibility is to get people's minds back on God by putting the truth of the Word of God into people. And this is why it's so important to understand the importance of discipleship. People put great emphasis on evangelistic crusades, and I'm not demeaning it, so don't even read into that. Don't read into that. But what good is it to get a convert if you don't disciple him? What good would it be for a woman to give birth to a baby and walk off and leave it? It's going to die. You with me? It has to be nurtured. It has to be fed. It has to be taught. You have to assist that infant in growth. You have to assist a convert in growth. That's why there's more to it than Mark chapter 16. There's a Matthew 28 in there as well, that we are to make disciples of all nations, not just converts. A disciple begins with a conversion, but that's just the beginning. Then how do you disciple? Through instruction, through training. You teach them, you teach them, you teach them, and then you give them hands-on. You ever heard of on-the-job training? There is no substitute for on-the-job training. You with me? I remember back years ago, actually I was still in service, and you know, I was a mechanic all that time, so I had this interest in learning how to rebuild automatic transmissions. So I took a course on how to rebuild automatic transmissions. The only problem was I didn't have a transmission to look at, just pictures. And made an A on the course. Couldn't build a transmission if my life depended upon it. I could tell you what the words were, but didn't really know what they were, you know. Planetary gear and the sun gear and converter and all that. But what does all this stuff do? But years later, when I got my hands on one and took it apart, then what I was educated in helped me, but it didn't train me. Okay, it was the hands-on to where I got my training by doing it. And I'm going to tell you, that's where the same principle holds true in the things of God, in ministry. There is a time for educating people, but that education without training is not going to get the job done. There must be a hands-on. Okay? I don't know, I think it was a little over a year ago, I was sitting there at the house and had just actually been listening to something and just sitting there in the chair meditating. And believe it or not, I'll do that a lot. And meditation is nothing but just thinking. And I'll usually have my eyes closed and just get lost in thought. And the Lord said to me, now you understand, this was a little over a year ago. I pastored the first church in 1986. Now you can do the math. The Lord said, you're now entering into your ministry that I've ordained you to. All the other have been training. Training. Hands-on. Some hands-on training, okay? The education, but then hands-on training as well. And then I've been thinking about, and I was talking to the Lord, I was asking Him, you know, Spirit Training Center. And got to pondering on the difference between instruction and training. And talking to the Lord about that, you know. How do I fulfill this ministry of training? And I haven't got the whole puzzle together yet, okay? But pieces are starting to come together to where I can see that it's time for people to get their hands on. That's why we have been putting so much emphasis on you stirring the gifts. And that's why we're trying to provoke some of you and give you that opportunity to stand up here and do what the Lord's telling you to do, to speak out for the Lord or lay hands on people, minister to people, or go here, go there, do whatever. This is my assignment. It's my mandate. And so I'm not threatened by the success of your ministry. Because if you're successful, then I will have done my job. If you're not successful, I will have failed, is the way I see it. And so I want you to flourish for the Lord. But in order to do that, you're going to have to get the garbage out. Get the Word of God in to where you're thinking like Him. And the more you do that, now you understand, we gave you the word metamorphosis, which is slow progressive change, okay? So don't expect everything to just happen overnight. It doesn't work that way. So you step out and you learn the voice of the shepherd. You learn the voice. You learn people's voices, don't you? I mean, the first time you meet someone and you're introduced with them, if they call you 2 days later, unless they have such a unique voice that's undeniable, if they call you 2 days later, you won't know who you're talking to unless they identify themselves. And what do? You look at the caller ID to see who it is, right? But if you've been around that person and you're very familiar with that person, you know how the person talks. Then you know there's tones, obviously, in the natural and all that they don't have to identify themselves. You know who you're talking to. But the more you get around a person, the more you pick up on their vocabulary. They have certain little phrases that they may say, and you just, that'll identify them quickly. You understand? The Lord is learned. The voice of the Lord is learned by paying attention. And then you start asking yourself, when you get this, well, let's just say thought. When you get this thought, when I say the voice of the Lord, I'm not talking about some booming voice. Hey, that's not, when I say the Lord speaks to me, I'm not talking about audible voices. I'm talking about something that's real on the inside of me, not what I'm thinking. That's me thinking it. There's a difference between me thinking something and the Lord revealing something to me or speaking something to my heart. And the way this happens is, I say this from time to time, I'm just minding my own business, and all of a sudden, I know something I didn't know before. And there's no reason for me to know that. And I started learning how God works with me. And Sherry mentioned it this morning. You know, Pat started out by saying, I saw. Most of the time, I will say I hear. Because I'm not one that sees a lot as far as spiritual, not visionary per se. You with me? But I'm one that hears. Okay? And then you start tuning in to the hearing and then respond to the hearing. God doesn't have to paint me a picture. What He has to do is speak to me. Now, that's because of the way I'm made, the way I'm created. And guess what? God's the one that did that. Okay? Other people are visionaries. They see things. You understand that in early days, they called a prophet a seer. Why? Because he was seeing. He was seeing in vision. As a matter of fact, when God dealt with Miriam and Aaron over their little incident with Moses, God said, my paraphrase, I'm going to set the record straight. If I speak to a prophet, it'll be in a dream and I'll reveal myself in a vision. In other words, I'm going to speak to the prophet and communicate with the prophet in visions and dreams. But with Moses, I'm going to talk to him as a man talks to a man. And he chided them, and Miriam paid a price there for a week for coming against him. But here again, Seeing's legitimate. Hearing's legitimate. If you're a hearer, listen. If you're a seer, pay attention. Why are you seeing what you see? Is it just something that you just took off with and daydreaming? Or is it something that the Spirit of the Lord is showing you? You know, from time to time, you'll read the prophets and like Amos, what do you see? Jeremiah, what do you see? What do you see? And so both are legitimate. So you have to develop in knowing the voice of the Lord, the way the Lord is dealing with you. If the Lord is speaking through you by what you're seeing, or if the Lord's speaking to you by what you're hearing. You learn that. You learn that. And you learn that through familiarity. You get more and more familiar with the Lord, and that's done through fellowship with the Word. Now, I'm sure the same thing happens to everybody. I don't think I'm just an isolated case. But practically every day of my life, I'll hear something that's totally off the wall. And immediately, I know that's not the Word of God. That doesn't agree with the Word. And if you ever get the thought, you need to set them straight. That's not God. Cast that thought down. Get that garbage out. Get to thinking like the Spirit thinks. It's not as complicated as we think it is. But it is very disciplined. You discipline yourself to hear. You know, there's times, I don't know about your parents, but I know with mine, especially with my dad, you know, he could say some things, and then sometimes he'd say, "Boy, pay attention. Are you listening to me?" Now all of a sudden I'm listening to him. I heard a noise. You know, sometimes God spoke and people heard a noise, but some heard God speak, "This is my beloved son." Others thought it thundered. Why? How you're hearing? Are you hearing by the Spirit? Or by natural? Are you gauging things by the Word of God? Or by reasoning? You with me? This is why it's so important to renew our minds with the Word of God, to where we're thinking in agreement with the Word. That's back to the original state. That's how God thinks. And God's wanting us to think that way. Now, we have an opportunity before us in another country. So go into a country to where the thinking is goofed up. And get that refuge out of their thinking. And get truth into their thinking. And it won't happen in a day, a week, a month, or a year. But it has to start somewhere. You understand? And what are you doing? You're discipling. And discipling is a long, drawn-out affair. Do you understand that that's what the education system does? It disciples children. For 13 years now, it disciples children in the way they want them to go. In Proverbs, we have a mandate from God to train up children in the way God wants them to go. Well, I believe that's natural, but I also believe that's a spiritual principle as well, that we are to spiritually train people in the way God wants them to go, not in the way an organization wants them to go. But we train them the ways of God. How do we do that? This is your textbook. This is always your textbook. If you're going to train people in the ways of God, it'll have to be through the Bible. That's God's word to humanity. And so he's saying, I don't want you conformed. I don't want them conformed. I want them transformed. Now, where we are today is we're having to go to people that's already been conformed and get them transformed. That means it requires patience. It requires time. It requires effort. In cases like this, it requires money. But you have to be willing to yield all that to the Lord, because He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants people to come to repentance, but they can't come to repentance until they know truth. If you don't know you're in error, you will live your life in error. And the sad part of it is you'll think you're right. How many people in the world today are living a lie and thinking they're doing right? It's not that they're not good people. They're deceived by systems. The systems of the world are designed to deceive you. The system of God is designed to reveal the truth to you. Then we choose which system we subject ourselves to. And we have the opportunity to reveal God's system to people. It's called the kingdom of God. But can I reveal something to you that hasn't been revealed to me? So we subject ourselves and get the revelation, and then we go forth with the revelation God's given us with a desire to give it to someone else. There's something on the inside of you that says, man, this is good. I want other people to know this. Taste this. This is good. That should be what's motivating us. God has dropped something in us, and we want to share it with somebody else. The truth. That's what God puts in us. The truth. So we have a responsibility of getting our minds renewed, restored back to the original state, so we can go in and influence others so their minds can get restored back to the original state, which is thinking by the Spirit instead of by the flesh. Does all that make sense? Good. So, let's get rid of the debris and let's change people's lives by changing their thinking. Amen? That's the message.